do you all have to like exactly the same things? So, you know, if you're on a football team, do you all have to like exactly the same music, exactly the same TV programs? Do you? No. So what makes a good team? Do you have some ideas here? They work together well. Excellent, yeah. They do good teamwork, yeah. They help each other, love each other, yeah. Go on. They stick together. Excellent, yeah. They love each other, they help each other, they stick together, they work together. Brilliant. And it might be that they work together to play a game of netball and win together. It might be that they're trying to build a big Lego project that they're going to work together on. But they need to help one another and stick with one another. And Paul says to this church in Philippi, Paul's in jail, he's in prison because he loves Jesus. And he's writing to this church that he once visited and helped set up. And he's writing to them to encourage them. And he says this to them. Have a look, chapter 2, verse 1, big 2, little 1. He says to them, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that is, if you've been cheered up in knowing that you are saved, that's what it means to be united with Jesus, you believe in him, you're believing that he died to take the punishment that you deserved for rejecting God and for the wrong you did to him. And he then unites us with him. He makes you part of his team, if I can put it that way. If you're cheered, Paul says, by knowing that you're on Team Jesus, united with him. Then he goes on. Have a look. He says, if you've been comforted by his love, that is, you're certain that Jesus loves you. He says, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit, that is, you know the Holy Spirit is at work in you. Experience his tenderness, his compassion in your life. So there's times when life's been difficult, school has been hard, you prayed for God for help, and he heard. And he showed you his love, and you felt his help and his care, and he answered your prayer. Paul says, if you know that, if you know what it is to be part of Team Jesus, believing in him, he then says, verse 2 onwards, have a look, you're to live as Team Jesus. If you know you're part of Team Jesus, you're encouraged, you're cheered by that, then you have to live as Team Jesus. He's going to appeal to them to live in a way that pleases Jesus as those on his team. Just have a look back, just a few verses, back to chapter 1 and verse 27. This is where it's all started. He says, look, whatever happens, conduct yourselves, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus. Worthy of what Jesus has done for you. In saving you, in rescuing you. Live as one who is on Team Jesus. And he says, chapter 2, verse 2, he says, look, make my joy complete by being like-minded, have the same love, be one in spirit and one mind, do nothing out of selfish ambition, be like Christ, verse 5. He goes on in chapter 2, 12, continue to work these things out. Work it out, how to live as those who are in Team Jesus. See, think about a football team or a netball team. If you belong to that team, you have to obey the rules of that team, don't you? You have to wear their strip. You have to obey the coach. You have to do the exercises that he or she says. If you're a professional and you play for a professional football team like Liverpool or Arsenal, well, you have to eat what they say. You have to go to bed when they say. You live in a way that shows you belong to that particular team. And Paul wants this church in Philippi to live as if they're all on the same team, Team Jesus. And he wants us at Christ Church to live as if we're all on the same team, Team Jesus, and to live in a way that shows that we're part of his team. So what does that look like? Well, first he says you have to be united as a team, united together as a team, working together. That's what we said earlier, wasn't it? You have to stick together. That's what it means to help each other and care for one another and love one another. I wonder, Henry, could you just come and help me just on stage, please, mate? I've just got this really big box here. It's full of just a few bits and bobs, weights, you know, back issues and all that. Would you mind just kind of moving it over there? Yeah, please. Okay, you're not as strong as I thought, Henry. Okay, no, don't worry. Don't, whoa, eat yourself. Don't do your back. Don't do that. That's not good. Where's James? James, would you come and help Henry?
Me.
James, come and help Henry. James, why not?
I don't like Henry, okay?
I like you, Henry. It's all right, and Frankie over there likes you as well, and there's at least two of us here. Probably a few more as well. Okay, we'll talk about it later. Thanks, Henry. Oh, here, little Henry fan club down here. I think James likes him, really. Okay, so if Henry can't do it and James won't help, I'm going to need four volunteers to help me. I need four volunteers. Everyone's hands going up. Let's see. Would you want to come up? Yeah, come on up. Do you want to come up? Do you want to come up? Do you want to come up? Okay, brilliant. Now, here's the thing, guys. Henry is a little bit of a weakling. It's a little weak, but I think between the four of you, you can move that box. What do you reckon? Yep. Okay, let's see if we can do it. Team, let's call yourself, I don't know. Team Christchurch, let's go. Yeah, let's go. You ready? Over here, together. Over here, over here. Wow, Henry really is weak, isn't he? Good job, guys. Good job. Do you see that? That is teamwork. They stuck together, they helped one another, and you moved a heavy box from one side to the other side. Brilliant, thank you. I might need your help again in a little while, okay? So just go sit down and then I'll call you back up in a bit, okay? Team Christchurch, go. Now here's the thing. Those on Team Jesus are to be united. They're to stick together, to work together, to help one another, love one another, not like Henry and James, to do what God says. See, look what Paul writes, verse 2. Eyes down, have a look, nudge the person next to you, make sure you can see the Bible. Verse 2. Paul says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. That is, it's not that you have to think the same about everything, but he says you are to think the same about Jesus. He says you are to all agree, if you're on Team Jesus, that Jesus is the King, that he is the one who rescues us, that he's the number one in all our lives. And we all have to agree that what we want to do is to please him, to do what he's commanded us to do. And the big thing he's commanded us to do is to tell others about the good news of what he has done to save people. He says we're on mission together. We're to be agree on that and to be like-minded in that. Just as these four guys agreed on moving the box together, we're to have that same mindset, that like-mindedness. We're to stick together, agree on what it is to serve Jesus. Then see what he says. He says you're to have the same love. That is, you're to love Jesus. All those on Team Jesus are going to love him, but you're also going to love everyone else who's on Team Jesus. Now, you might not be best friends with everyone, but you are to love everyone on Team Jesus. You're not to fight and quarrel like Henry and James says. You don't get to say, no, I don't like you if you're part of Team Jesus. You love everyone. Look around. These are who you're to love. Love for Jesus. Then he says, have a look. You're to be one in spirit and mind. In other words, there's a sense of togetherness, helping each other, just as these four guys helped each other to move the box. We're to care for one another. We're to work together for the same purpose as we seek to tell people about Jesus. Everyone has a part to play. We're to be united as a team for Jesus. And it's striking. Do you see, it's striking. Paul doesn't say, hey, some of you be like-minded, or some of you love, will some of you be united? He says, if you love Jesus and you're on his team, then you are to be like-minded. You're to agree about what the Bible says about Jesus. You're to love one another and be one in spirit and mind with others who love Jesus. You're to help and serve and work with. Because Team Jesus requires everyone to be playing their part. Which means in this church, if you love Jesus and you attend regularly, then become a member with us. And unite with us in the work. Be like-minded, have the same love and one spirit and mind with us. If you are a member, then find ways to serve and help and care for one another. See, think of a stadium. It's a magnificent stadium, isn't it? Now, where does the team play in a stadium? Does it play up here? Does it climb around up here? What about down here? That's where the team plays, isn't it? Who sits up here? Sorry? The people, the watchers, the spectators. And they come to see the team play. And the Bible says that the world is watching us whilst we as Team Jesus play, as it were, as we live out what it means to follow him and serve him and love him. The team is not up here in the stands. We're all on the pitch together, playing, united, sticking together and helping each other. The team don't stand and sit up here. Do you see that? We're to be on the pitch, playing together, serving together, united. So that's the first thing Team Jesus does. We stick together, we help one another, we care for one another, we're united. And then Paul says, the other mark of Jesus' team, have a look, verse 3, is you're humble. You have humility. That is, you're more concerned about others than you are with yourself. You're more concerned about others than you are about yourself. That's what it means to be humble, to put others first. Where are my four volunteers? Do you want to come back up? Come back up, guys. Great. No, no, not this time. Come and stand in a line here. Do you want to go here? Do you want to come up here? Here. Oh, we brought a teddy as well. Lovely. Okay, I just want to thank you guys for helping me. So I've got some sweets here, okay? Do you want to hold your hand out? There you go. This is right. You can have them. There you go. There we go. One, two sweets for you. That's right. Hold them onto yourself. There you go. Two sweets for you. Sorry, girls. I've run out. Hold on. Hold on. So you got none. Okay. We've got a few options right now, okay? Now you guys, yeah, I mean, you could decide, you know, I deserve these two sweets. After all, it was a heavy box. I'd put my fair labor in. I'm just going to keep them to myself. Yeah, I mean, that would be fair, wouldn't it? You could decide, you know what, I'm really hungry. I need two sweets right now to keep me going through the service. Mark does go on a bit, so... You know, maybe just give me a bit of energy. Maybe you're thinking, actually, you know what? Having two sweets, I look pretty cool up here. You know, you two have no sweets. I have two sweets. I'm pretty cool. You know, no one else has. No one else in the whole room has those two sweets. You're looking good. What else could you do? Oh, genius! You could put others first and share them so that you'll have one sweet each. Brilliant. Thanks, guys. See, you put others first before your hunger, before looking cool, before this is what I deserve. You put others first. And on Jesus' team, we're to put others first. That's what Paul says. Have a look with me. Open the Bible, nudge the person next to you, make sure their eyes are down. Verse 3, he says what he says. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. That is, do nothing for your own personal name. Don't keep the two sweets you gain for yourself. Whilst others have none, he says, no, no. Do nothing for your own personal gain. He then says, do nothing out of vain conceit. That is, for your own glory, for your own fame, to look brilliant, to look cool. Don't do that. Rather, he says, have a look, see what he says. Verse 3, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Put others first. Think about others on your team before you think about yourself. I don't know about you, but I find that hard. I'm quite selfish. You know, I want the sweets, they're mine. I don't want to share them. Or when it comes to playing games, I want to play the game I like. I don't want to play the game you want. I want you to play my game. I don't want to be friends with you because you're just not cool enough. And if I'm friends with them, everyone else will think I'm cool. I'll be friends with those who make me look good and make me happy or help me, and not those who I find a little difficult or different, even though they might be on Team Jesus with me. See, I want to do things my way, not the way you want, or what's best for you. I want what's just best for me. Don't you find that? You just want to do things your way? And I let you into a little secret, kids. Adults find it hard too. They find it hard to share and be kind too. Because more often than not, we're still so concerned about our rights and about what we have and how we are thought of or what we should get or what we deserve than we are about thinking about what others want or think or need. Or we're happy to consider others or love others so far, but not when it starts to intrude. I mean, I'm happy to help someone on a Sunday morning, but not during the week. I'm happy to talk with someone, but not if it means that then I have to do something. You know, I'm happy to have a chat with you about life, but let's not get too serious, because it might mean I have to do something, respond or help or even speak truth in love, and I'd rather not because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm happy to just talk about things up here, but I don't really want to love you. I'll love you on my terms and my way, not how you really need me to love you, not to really put you first. And the truth is, we find it hard because we love ourselves more than others. We find it hard to think about others and to put them first. But Paul says those on Jesus' team, those who want to live it out for Jesus, are more concerned with others than they are with themselves. With being humble, to put others first. And it's not that Jesus asks of his team to do something he doesn't. You see, Team Jesus is to be like Jesus. See what Paul says? Have a look, verse 5. Nudge your head, I'll keep going. Eyes down in the Bible. He says, look, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. Be like Jesus, who is the supreme example of putting others first. Hey, look what he says. Look what he does. I need another volunteer. Where's that? I need a volunteer. Someone's a little bit older. Yeah, yeah. Edward, come on. Yep. 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 We're going to work this through. We're going to work through verse 6 now, okay? And here he is. Sit down. Genius. Never look. Paul tells us. See what Paul says, verse 6? Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, that means that Jesus is fully God. Okay? He's fully God. Here he is. Jesus, God-like, crown on, robe of magnificent glory and splendor. Do you want to hold that there? Good man. Sitting fully God. Fully God, okay? Sitting in heaven. Oh, a little bit big, isn't it? Yeah, there we go. And he's ruling over all things. He's enjoying all the wonderful things of heaven. He's enjoying relationship with his Father. He's worshipped and loved by the angels. He's all powerful. Do you want to just take your crown off for 2 seconds? Good man. Okay, don't worry about that. I'll pick it up. All powerful. There he is in heaven. He's all power. All power. Do anything. He knows all things. Knows everything. He sees all things. Sees everything we do. Sees everything that happens in creation, from the depths of the ocean to the heights of the mountain. He sees it all. He's fully God. And then we read, have a look, eyes down in the Bible, verse 6b. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He gave up all his rights, all that was due to him, all that was properly his, all his privileges that he was rightly allowed and given as one who is fully God. And he left heaven, and he left the adoration of the angels, and he laid down his right to see all things. And he laid down his right to know all things. And he laid down his right to be all powerful. And he left heaven. And he laid it all down to put others first. And Jesus didn't use his power whilst on earth for his good or for his fame. Instead, he used it for others. He helped people to see and walk. But he didn't use it to make himself popular or to make himself liked. He didn't use it to save himself when he's nailed to the cross. He gave everything that rightfully, properly was his. And he became nothing. And look what it says, verse 7, have a look. Eyes down. He took on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He remained fully God, but he gave up all his rights. He takes on a human nature. He becomes one of us to put us before himself. And he doesn't come as a king. Doesn't come as a prince, doesn't come as a superhero, he comes as a servant, a slave, who had nothing, no property, no house, no money, nothing. He came to serve. He put it in his word. Here we go. His apron. Got out his black din bag and then served. And instead of being powerful, instead of knowing all things and seeing all things, he's now like us with all our limitations. And so he gets tired. Do you get tired? You never get tired. Really? Shall I ask mum and dad, does he get tired? Yo, yeah. Do you get hungry? Yeah. Do you feel pain at times? Yeah. See, Jesus felt it all the pressures of life. And instead of being adored, he serves and put others first. And then in the greatest example of putting others first, verse 8, have a look. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Do you want to hold your hands up? Now hold your hands up like you're on the cross. There you go. And he dies for us. And he dies one of the most shameful, embarrassing, painful ways possible. He's nailed naked to a cross. And he bears the full anger of God at our sin. So that his team, you and I, wouldn't have to. So that his team, you and I, could be friends with God. So that his team could enjoy heaven and be in heaven with him. He's the supreme example of putting others first. Thank you. You can sit down. Good job. So how can I ever say, I don't want to share my sweets, my ball, play your game. When Jesus shared his life, he left all the riches of heaven that was his. He laid them all aside for me and you to put us first. See, how can I ever say, I don't want to be friends with you, you're not cool enough, when the creator of all, God himself, left all to become a servant, a slave, for me, for you, that we could be friends with him. can I ever say enough? I'm going to serve no more. I've done my hour. I've done my 2 hours. I deserve better. I'm going to stop here. And yet none of us, in any of our serving, in any of our giving, has surpassed Christ's humility, surpassed what he has done in putting others first. And often the reason I don't want to consider others or really love others is because I think it's just too hard and too messy and too costly. As soon as I start to draw alongside someone and talk with someone beyond kind of work and sport and school and TV and start talking with others about them and their struggles and their needs and their difficulty, it just feels costly. And it might cause me to my time, my money, my emotional energy and effort. And so I'll just keep talking up here about work and TV and sport, and I'll leave it to others, not really considering that person's interest, but only considering mine and my comfort. But how can I ever say it's too costly and too demanding when Jesus left heaven and became a servant and was nailed to a cross to put me first? How can I demand my rights and my ways? How can I argue and quarrel and say, I want this now, when Jesus gave up all his rights to put me first? How do you live as one on Jesus' team? You seek to be united. One mind and love, sticking together, serving and helping one another, seeking to put others first. And how do we know this is the right way to live, the best way to live? Because God himself says so and affirms it. See, Jesus humbled himself. He put others first, and then, God exalts him and lifts him up and gives him all the glory, as if to say, look, this is the way to live. Those who do, I will exalt, I will lift up, I will honor. Do you see verse 9? Have a look. Last time we're looking down. Therefore God exalted him, lifted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, God honors him. God praises him. All the earth will praise him. And strikingly, God says to us, those on Team Jesus, as we seek to live as Team Jesus, as we seek to put others first, God says, James 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud. He opposes those who put themselves first, who are more concerned with themselves and their glory and their fame and their rights and what they can get, holding on to the sweets. But he shows favor to the humble. Or James 4, verse 10, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What does that mean? Well, it can't mean that we're going to be honored like Jesus. But I wonder whether it does mean that we'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. Come and join me. Come and share in Jesus' honor and praise and glory. Friends, Team Jesus, are they not the words you wish to hear? Team Jesus, live as Team Jesus. Live as those united, and live as those who put others first.